Now, okay. Good morning, everybody. Let us continue in the Gemara. We're on Daf Chafam and Aleph. One second. Let's just get the. Let me get the whiteboard up. Second. Apologize, everyone, for the slight delay. No. Go.
Okay. I'm good now, right?
I hope so.
Yeah, I'm fine. I don't know if they hear me.
We can hear you.
We can hear you. And Venner, yes. You know you can mute everyone, right?
Okay, hold on. Just getting everything in place. All right.
It's fine.
Let us begin. The Gemara says, one more second. Okay. The Gemara says, give me one more second to here we are. Okay. Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. We are about 2/3 of the way down. Tana Rabbanan, Mikasa Velo V'Chokak. You have to write the get, and writing excludes engraving. L'meimra D'Chakika Lav K'siva. Who is that to say that engraving doesn't count as Chalos K'siva in the Torah? Uriminu Eved Sheyotza B'Ksav Shal Gabi Tavla U'Pinkas. Yotza L'Chiras. An Eved who you write him a Shtar Shichrur. On a tavla or a pinkas, and a tavla, Rashi says, is a daf, and a daf you write on, but a pinkas is I don't remember the English word for it, but it's some sort of like they used to have. You ever read novels when they went to school in the 19th century? They had these like wax type boards of some sort that you would etch on, and then you could smooth it out again and etch on it again, I think. Or it's some other type of a surface that you etch on. So that's clearly chakika, and that is valid. Avalov ksav shall be a kippah v'anduchtri, but not ksav that's on a kippah or an anduchtri. What's wrong with the kippah and the anduchtri? Rashi says that the kippah, Rashi says here, the kippah means what we call a kippah, a hat, and anduchtri is also some sort of item of clothing. But what's wrong with a kippah or an anduchtri? So Rashi says that it's made of embroidery, and eino ksav l'fisha eino kosov v'kavua elamuta lal habeged ubeiz roshav techuvim. It is not attached. It is merely placed on the beged, and the two ends are stuck on. This is actually an interesting issue, which we're not going to get into. What about if you look on the side here, on Mesorsa Shas, in the old-fashioned Shas, is just mamish in the margin. It quotes in the Aruch, Perish Kippah Shel Tzemer Aruga Imrakam Ba'aruga Get Isha O Get Cheiros Eino Get. The Aruch just says it's embroidery. And then anduchtri, he interprets differently. There's another one in the old-fashioned Shas is in the opposite margin. The Aruch says, anduchtri has nothing to do with an item of clothing. It sounds like you just bring palm, like lulav leaves, not the whole branches like a lulav, the leaves in the lulav, the hutzen, and you color them and you make letters out of them. Okay, so if you just color sticks and make letter out of them, like when you spell things out with, you know, matches, etc., that's not considered ksav. But in the kippah part of the Aruch, he sounds like embroidery is not ksav. It sounds in the Aruch like embroidery is not ksav. For ksav, you have to have writing or etching. Meaning, the ksav can't be threads that are attached, that are just embroidered onto the material. It has to be something which is more attached than that. But Rashi, and that would seem to prove that embroidery is not considered writing. Rashi says something funny here, because Rashi does use the word roken, which means embroidery, but then he says that the letters are not really ksav because they're only placed on the garment and the two ends are stuck in. So Rashi makes it seem like real embroidery might be considered ksav. But here we're talking about you just sort of take letters and you stick the two ends of the letters into the garment and it's not properly attached, and that's why it's not ksav. So l'chor, we have a machlokas here between the Aruch and others like the Aruch versus Rashi, that the Aruch and others would say that embroidery is not called ksav, while Rashi would say that implies that it would be called ksav if it was attached properly, like real embroidery. Embroidery, by the way, sorry, for those young people who are not familiar with embroidery, it's like on your talus bag or tefillin bag, how they make the letters. Ellie says everyone knows what embroidery is. When I was your age, I didn't. But it's like how they make the letters on the talus bag. So Rashi implies that that would be ksav. It's just here we're talking about not real embroidery, but more like you take cut out letters and stick them on and just stick them in on two sides, but they're not attached well, and that's why it's not ksav. Okay, so let's leave Kippa Manduktri for now, though, and go back to the issue of Chakika. What is the more answer? Amar ulam rizlaza lokasha adichot tochos hadichot yurechos. It depends what you are carving. Hadichot tochos, when is Chakika not count? When you are cutting out everything around the letters and leaving the letters. Like, how would you make raised letters? Perhaps you would just carve away everything around the letters, and then all of a sudden you would form raised letters. That is not ksiva because you are not actually making the letters. You're merely subtracting the background of the letters, and the letters are appearing memela. You're not creating the letters through a maisik ksiva. You're creating the letters through just some sort of grumma by removing the background. And that doesn't count as ksiva. L'chora, the same would apply even if you used a pencil. Let's say with a pencil, instead of making a letter with the pencil, I color the whole page except for the letter and just leave the letter white. So I think that would probably also be the same problem as chaktochos, in that I'm not making the letters, I am merely making around the letters. Hadachak yurechos, when does chakika count? When is the eved go free with the ksav shal yitavla? The only way you do it in tavla is if I actually etch the letters. Meaning if I etch the letters and they're etched in deeply, then I've made the letters. And etching does count as a writing. But if I carve away the background and leave the letters, then I haven't made the letters, I just removed the background. And that doesn't count as writing. This is true in Ksiva and Kol Tarkula. It's not a special din in Get. We're familiar with from Sefer Torah and Tefillin, Mezuzahs, etc., that Chaktochos is a problem. Now the Gemara asks a few technical questions. Urminhu lo hayak savo shokeya ela bole kidinare zahav. When you're talking about the tzitz in the Beis HaMikdash, okay, it was this past week's parsha. The Kodesh Hashem and the tzitz. The Kodesh Hashem was not engraved into the tzitz. It wasn't like deep. Rather, it was sticking out. So just like dinare zahav, just like coins. Coins always have the letters sticking out. I'm pretty sure if you look at the coins in your pocket, the letters will be sticking up. So the Kodesh Hashem and the Tzitz was going up, not like the Tavla. So that means you just chipped away the background. If you chipped away the background, then you didn't write it. And if you didn't write it, it's puzzle because remember, it has to be Michtav Pituchei Chosam. Vayechtavu Olav Michtav Pituchei Chosam. They have to write it. So the answer is Kedinarizav, Dinarizav Tochos. Saying in Dinarim, it's Chak Tochos. Kidinarizav, lo kidinarizav, kidinarizav, the boik, lo kidinarizav, the lohasam, tokos, hacha, yerechos. It was like dinarizav, but not exactly like dinarizahav. It was like dinarizahav in that the letters were raised instead of sunken. But unlike dinarizav was made through chaktochos, and this was made through chakurechos. How exactly was it made through chakurechos? We'll see soon. Now, the Gemara asks another question. The simple shot, a few Rishonim write, is that this next issue in the Gemara is not a continuation of the previous discussion, because then they're like asking things that were already asked. It was a different discussion that they put in this Gemara. Amarli Ravina Ravashi, Rushma Michritz Choritz Opinufei Machdif. How do you view, meaning we know there's Chaktochos and Chakurechos. If I etch letters deeply into the surface, that's a Chalos Ksiva. If I carve out the surroundings and leave raised letters, that's a Vada, not a Chalos Ksiva. What if I impress it with a stamp, meaning a mold? I have a mold. Obviously, in the mold, the letters are sunken. When I put the mold on soft metal, it creates raised letters. So what if I have a mold that creates raised letters? That's called Rishma. I have to apologize to everyone. I just got a call from my administration that I have to join an emergency conference call, and I have to interrupt my shiur, which I don't like doing, but I don't think I have a choice. So I'll ask everyone to please hold on here. I'm going to pause the recording. 1 second. Okay. Okay, Rabosai. So the Gemara then asks, Amrli Ravina Ravashi, Rushma Mikra Taritz Okinuvi Machtif. When I stamp something and I create raised letters, is that Chatochos? Because what it does is press down the background and leave the letters as they are, and therefore it's not Ksiva. Or is it actually creating the letters because it presses the material sideways into the letters and actually pushes the letters up? I haven't tried it. I don't know if anyone's a scientist. They can tell us. When you stamp something, do you only press down or do you also press up? It seems to me that scientifically, soft metal, you also press up. Right, Morty?
Yeah, if it's a soft metal, it'll move up. If it, correct. That's the difference between Zahav and Kesef.
Correct. So it seems to me that when you stamp something, it pushes the background down, but that indirectly pushes the letters up. So it could be the question here is just, how do we look at it halachically? Do we look at that as merely pushing the background down and we don't acknowledge the sort of indirect secondary effect of pushing the letters up? Or do we look at it as pushing the letters up, in which case it would be ksiva? So Amar Lein Mechor Tzari says, no, a stamp is only considered to be pushing the background down and it's not ksiva. Esvei lo hayek sova shokeel bo lei kidinari zahav. Bisal kedaitech mechor tzari tzave ina mechta veleka. The tzitz had raised lettering. How can you make raised lettering in the tzitz? Obviously by stamping it. So if you stamp it like they do for dinari zahav, that's how you mint coins. So doesn't that prove that it's considered ksiva, that it's mechna, chinufe mechna? The answer is, kidinari zahav, lo kidinari zahav, kidinari zahav, the bolet, lo kidinari zahav, the lohasim, gavoy, vahachamei avroi. Here we have machlokas, what this means. They say it is like dinari zahav, but not like dinari zahav. It is like dinari zahav in that it has raised lettering, but unlike dinari zahav, they stamped with a regular mold. This they did me avroi from the other side, from the outside. What do we mean from the outside? So Rashi and most Rishonim say what it means is instead of making a stamp with sunken letters and pressing it on the front to make raised letters, they made a stamp with raised letters and pressed it on the back and pushed out the letters from the back. Since there, they directly pushed out the letters and did the maisa on the letters instead of the background. That's considered a halos ksiva. That's Rashi. There are Tosos Rosh quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, who says that's not a halos ksiva. Because since you're pressing from the back, that is considered an indirect making of the letters. It's a chiddush. I would think it's a halos ksiva. You're pressing the letters out from the back instead of just pressing the background in. But the Tosfos Rosh quotes Rabbeinu Tam thinks that's not a chalos ksiva. Going from the back is not called ksiva. And he says, rather, what it means is they took tweezers and pulled the letters out with tweezers, which is clearly making raised letters directly. Okay, but in any case, we've answered our question, and we finished up this sugya in the Gemara. One thing is very clear in the sugya, that chotochos...
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please. Yeah.
When you're pushing it out from the back,
I'm sorry, you don't have a good connection, and I'm not hearing the question.
Try again. Is this any better?
Better? I think so.
When you're pushing out from the back, among your right, you're making letters, but you're making mirror images of the letters.
Okay, I'm still not hearing. I apologize.
I'll write in the chat.
Okay. Anyway, let us move on, meanwhile. So, clearly, what we learned is that chatochos is not a chalos ksiva. So, if it's not a chalos ksiva, then we have a very interesting machlokas. The question is, for what areas of halacha is this not a chalos ksiva? One thing is clear, it doesn't count as a chalos ksiva, it's not valid for gittin. Another thing is clear, it's not a chalos ksiva, it's not valid for making the tzitz in the Beis HaMikdash. That's in our Gemara. And another thing is clear to all the Rishonim and is really Pashat. If it's not a Chalos Ksiva, it's not good for Stam. You can't use it for, say, for Torah Tefillin or Mezuzos. What about other areas of Halacha? So the Torah's Gittin here has a fascinating suffix. He asks, what about for the Eser Mechikas Hashem? What if I create a Shem Hashem through Chatochos? Like I stamp it. Let's say you have a coin. And on the coin, you stamp "In God We Trust," and "Rushma We Paskin" is Michris Charetz, and it's only Chatochos. Are you allowed to erase that "In God We Trust" or not? Obviously, without getting to all the other shilas that maybe was made without Kavana, etc. Let's say better than. Let's say Mamish with Kavana. I, you know, want to make a beautiful thing for the shul, and I stamp Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid with Chatochos and put it on the Aron Kodesh. So, is that if I melt it down or I file it away, is that an iser of Mechikas Hashem? And the Torah's Gittin is Mesufik and does not resolve his Suffik. What is the, what underlies the Suffik of the Torah's Gittin? So, could very well be what the Hakira that the Rav makes here. The Rav points to a famous Machlokes between the Rashba and the Ran in Mesech HaShabbos Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. The Rashba and the Ran argue about whether Chaktochos is Chayav for the Melach of Kosev on Shabbos or not. The Rashba assumes that Chaktochos is Potter on Shabbos. But the Ran says, no, that's ridiculous. Of course Chaktochos is Chayav on Shabbos. Because even though it's not a Chalosh and Ksiva, on Shabbos, Melech is Machshevas Asra Torah. And Melech Machshevas Asra Torah means that even if you don't do it through the formal Maisa, if you accomplish the goal, then you are chayav on Shabbos. The question becomes, what is the svara of the Rashba? The truth is, if you look at all the achronim there, many achronim say the Rashba never even meant it, it can't be, etc. But the Rav wants to give the svara of the Rashba, and the Rav makes the following chakira. It's a chiddush, this chakira of the Rav. But let's see the chakira of the Rav. Here we have... Tochos. One second. I apologize. You know, I have to figure out what I'm doing here. Hold on. Here we are. Let me try this again. Okay. I'm slowly getting better at this. Chotochos. The Rav asked the following chakira. Is it not a maise siva? Or should we go further than that? And the Rav says, it's not even, is it just a din in the maise? This is what we call a maise totzah chakira. Not even a result of Ksav. That's the Rav in Ishtiyurim here. It's found in a little greater length. He has a few more details in Masorah Journal, Volume 4, I think. Is it just not a Maisa Ksiva, did in the Maisa, which is the Pashup Shat? Or would you go further than that? I mean, the Lashon of Rashi here is that it's not Ksav, but I don't know how much of a Daik that the Rishonim were using the words the way the Rav meant. Or would you go further than that and say, if you haven't even created a Ksav? Like, is it that you've created a Ksav, but through Grama, not a Maisa Ksiva? Or that you haven't even created a result of written letters here because there's nothing new about the letters. The letters were here all along. And the Rav wanted to say that maybe the Nafkamina is Shabbos. If you say it's just not a Maisik Siva, but you have created Ksav, then we know that on Shabbos, even if you don't do a regular old-fashioned Maisa, but you create the result, you are Chayiv. That's the principle called Melech Machshevas Asra Torah. Where do we find, anyone have know the Bekiyas? Where do we find that the words Melech Machshevas Asra Torah mean that if you do the result in a reasonable way, in a professional way, even though you haven't done the Maisa in the direct fashion, you're still Chayiv on Shabbos? Anyone want to give me the Daf and Shas? Baba Kama Daf Samach Amud Aleph, I think as Rav Ashi says there, if I recall correctly, they discuss why, if Rav Ashi holds there that for Bava Kama purposes, we learned Bava Kama not so long ago, things that the wind helps create are not considered a Maisa. So why Zorah, the malacha of winnowing, Ruach Sayato, is done through the wind. Why is that considered malacha on Shabbos? And they explain, no, malach lach Shabbos asvatori, that's the professional way to do it. Here, the professional way to make things is to stamp coins, etc. So then we for sure say, like the Ran, that you are chayiv on Shabbos. You didn't do a maisik siva, but you had a very professional way of creating a ksav. But what's pshat in the Rashba? I think on both studies, you could have said like the Ran. Because you could say that in Shabbos, whether it's an av or a tolda, doing anything that vaguely resembles ksiva might be chayiv, but efshar, maybe, I'm not saying for sure. But you could say that your putter, which is the shita of the Rashba. So you could say you're chayiv either way. Because Shabbos, malach Shabbos, is so broad, all you have to do is something vaguely resembling the malacha. But what the Rav suggested is that no, if it's not a maisik siva, but it does create a ksav, you see, we do have a result of ksav, then you're chayiv on Shabbos. But if you don't even have a result of ksav, then maybe you are not chayiv on Shabbos. After all, remember, there was a weird Orza Ruo said, if you write foreign languages, you're not chayiv on Shabbos. Oh, it's something which vaguely resembles communication. Okay, he held vaguely resembling communication is not enough. You need to have an official ksav. So the Rashi would say, you don't have a real ksav here. The Rav wanted to say a second nafkamina as well, which is, what about cases where you might need ksav, but it doesn't say you have to be kosevet? Where do we find that? Don't tell me tefillin. Tefillin says you have to be kosevet the tefillin. Where does it say you have to be kosevet tefillin? Because it says, ksav to mezuzah beisecho visharecha, and there's a hekesh of tefillin to mezuzah. So you have to be kosevet tefillin and mezuzah. But what about the shin of tefillin, halachal moshe v'sinai? Here it gets a little tricky. With halachal moshe v'sinai, you never know what to think. But how about the shin of tefillin? You should know, this is a big machlokas through the generations. Anyone go to the tefillin factories? You know that, okay, nowadays there's a standard minhag, but the minhag is still a little confused about this. How do you make the shin on the box of the shel rosh of tefillin? What's the problem? The problem is that you can't make it by writing with your quill, because the tefillin's black anyway. So you can't write black on black. Nothing will happen. Okay, if your tefillin was white, the Orza Ruah discussed whether you could write it, but that's not relevant. So how do you make it? And don't say, how do you make this? Obviously, here we have a tricky part. The only way to make a nice looking shin, and especially if you want it to be a proper shin with all the proper tzura, etc., the only way to make a nice looking shin like we have an art tefillin is with a stamp. How else are you going to make a nice looking shin? The shin is, how do you make the shin stick out without a stamp? But we paskin rush v'mechritz choritz, and a stamp is chaktochos. So can you stamp your tefillin or can you not stamp your tefillin? What's the other option? The other option is to do what? One option is, which the Urzur discusses, but it's not so practical, is to do what Rashi says they did for the tzitz. Push it out from the back. That's a little hard in tefillin because, you know, it's a little hard to get there. But I guess if you did it before you split up the batin, or to do what Rabbi Natam says they did for the tzitz and pick it out with tweezers and mamish pull it out. So what do you do? Says the Or Chaim in Hilchos Tefillin. The Or Chaim is Rav Asher Milunil. It's similar to Sefer Kolbo. He says, be careful not to make it with a defus, because then it's a psul of chaktochos. He passels a shin through chaktochos. But the Orza Ruah that we put here, in the end, he says, Dilma, he's not sure, maybe it's Halacha Moshe V'Sinai, you can never tell what they did, but his Shita is, and the Ramah quotes him as saying this, and the Shulchan Aruch paskins this way, he paskins that it's no problem. Why? Because he says, Shin shel tefillin dayo shetei asuya b'chol inyan, beim emela, beim yadayim, mistaber de mehani. A shin of tefillin you can make however you want. It doesn't require ksiva. You can make it be a dayim with a maisa. You can make it mamela. You can make it happen automatically without a maisa. No problem. So here we have a machlokas between the Orza Ruah and the Or Chaim as to how to make the shin of tefillin. Can you make it through chaktochos or do you have to make it with tweezers? Even the Orza Ruah quotes Yesh Omrim. He says some people make it with a tefus and then it's made kavan. It's made very quickly. And other people make it with tweezers. So that's what he says. He says that's better. Then it comes out a better shape than the shin that you make mikumetes, meaning with tweezers. So what's the yisod of this machlokis? You could say they're arguing about the local halachas of the shin of tefillin, whether you require ksiva or not, right? Whether there's a hekesh between the shin and the partials. But the Rav said no, says the Rav. The Rav says the shin, the tefillin, shel rosh, says the Rav, that it depends on this chakira. If you say it's not a maisik siva, but it is ksav, then you should say like the orzarua, that it is kosher al yedei chak tochos. But if you say that it's not even called a ksav, then there's no shin written there. Then you would say, like the Orchas Chaim, that it's pasul. Now, you could have said differently. You could have said the Orchas Chaim pasuls because he requires a maisik siva. You could have had a different hesber. They both hold just not a maisik siva. They argue whether you need a maisik siva. But, so let's just put a lechora here. Right, because you could have disagreed. You could have said that even if you need maisik, even if it's merely a lack of maisik siva, you need maisik siva for the shin because of the hekesh between the shin and the partials. But simple pshat is mehechitesh, you need a maisik siva for the shin. You just need a shin there, and therefore the Orchas Chaim say there's no shin there. Because it's not a ksav. The other would say there is a shin there. It didn't get there through ksiva, but there's still a shin. And I think it's obvious the Rav would agree that another great nafkamina could be this Torah's Gittin. How about Mechikas Hashem? Shenase al yedei chaktochos. Are you allowed to erase the Shem Hashem that was written through chaktochos? If it was merely a lack of a maisik siva, then lechora you would say that it's aser limchok. Because there's still a Shem there. There's still a Shem Hashem. Ah, the Shem Hashem came out of my Siksiva, but it should still be Asur Limchok. Unless you want to say, no, it's only Asur Limchok, a Shem Hashem that was made through Ksiva. And you need Ksiva to be Makadish, which the Rav discussed a little. But the simple shot is, it should be Asur Limchok if it's still Ksav, not in my Siksiva. Let's see, what do I mean? But it is Ksav. But here you should say that it is, l'chori you should say at least, that it is mutter limchok. If there's no Shem Hashem there, then what's the problem? If there is no Shem Hashem, so it should be mutter limchok. Unless you say it's just even usher to be mochik something that seems like Shem Hashem because it's not kavod, but simple shot, it's not a Shem Hashem, it should be mutter. Eli.
Yeah, how do we know that the shin on the tefillin needs to be something that was ksav?
Because otherwise, lachori, you need a shin written there. If nothing's written there, then it's a problem.
Right, but you need the image of a shin, but it has to be called, it has to be called ksiva. It looks like a shin.
No, it doesn't have to be called ksiva, but I'm saying it has to be a ksav.
Right, so I'm saying, why is it going to be a ksav?
I guess I am assuming that. You could have said that maybe they're arguing whether it needs to be ksav or just needs to be a bias in the shape of a shin. But I'm assuming if you need a shin there, then you need a shin there. Shin. I'm assuming if it's not a ksav, it's not a shin. It's just a bias with a funny shape. Okay. In any case, just to be magder, what kind of hakira this is, let's be clear. This is a good old maisa versus totsa'a hakira methodologically. Okay. Now, this is what the Rav says in the Mesorah Journal, Volume 4. He wants to suggest another nafkamina, which is going a little farther afield of this chakira. By the way, Agav, what do we do nowadays for the shin of tefillin? If anyone ever went to the tefillin factory with yourself, with your sons, with your grandsons, it's not clear which is more chumr. Like, you always want to be machmer in tefillin nowadays. We spend so much money on our tefillin, they can be yotzei all the chumras. That's why we spend thousands of shekels, when in the old days, in the time of the Gemara, they used to spend 5 cents. But what's the bigger chumra? On the one hand, it's a bigger chumra to pull it out with tweezers. Then you avoid any chash of chaktochos, in case chaktochos is puzzle. But then it doesn't look like a proper shin. With tweezers, you're not going to get the exact right shape. On the other hand, it's better to do it with a stamp. Because if you stamp it on, it gets the right shape. But then maybe it's chaktochos, or maybe chaktochos is a problem.
Rav Asaf, so, don't they have
a press? Yeah, so the Maisa,
don't they have a press
what
they inside
do nowadays
the body?
Is they first pull it out with tweezers till it looks like a rudimentary basic shin, and then they stamp it to make it look like a nice shin. And that way, they're yotze as much as possible all the day. So that's halacha l'maisa, what we do for tefillin nowadays. Aaron Anstreich asked a question before. When you push the letters out the back, you're really writing mirror images of the letters. So why is that ksiva? It could be that maybe that's why Rabbeinu Tam objects to Rashi and says that's not called ksiva. Rashi would have to say, even though you're writing mirror images, you're right, you're writing the chakirechos mirror images. But I think what Rashi would say is no. Don't look at it as writing mirror images chakirechos. Look at it as pushing out the letters on the other side. Look at it as if you're directly pushing out the letters on the other side. If you directly push out the letters on the other side, then that is ksiva. So it could be that Aaron's question is gufa, the machlokas, between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says you're merely writing mirror images in chakirechos, and the letters on the other side are happening automatically, and you didn't write them, so it's puzzle. And Rashi would say no. View it as if, just like if you pulled the other side with tweezers, that would be valid. Here, you're just pulling it with tweezers by pushing, and view it as if you're directly pushing the other side. So it could be just a question of sometimes halachas are just where to draw the line, how to look at things. When I push from the back, do you look at it as writing on the back, and that creates a mirror image on the front? Or do you look at it as pushing the front directly from the back? All right, that's all I think I have to say about that. Now, there's an interesting machlokas between the Ramah and the Magen Avraham. It's not really Ramah and Magen Avraham. It's the Trumas HaDeshen versus the Radach. About the following case. What if I start writing a letter with Chaktochos? How do I mean I start writing a letter with Chaktochos? There's a big machlokas Rishonim. What if, is it called Chaktochos if, and this gets very complex, but is it called chaktochos if I write too much of the letter and I scratch some of it off? Oh, not right. I carve the background out of the surface. I just write too much with ink and then I scratch it off. Like, for example, I'm supposed to make a mem and a regular mem, and I write too much and it gets closed and becomes a mem sofit.
Right.
And then I want to scratch out a little line to make it into a regular mem again. Or I'm supposed to write a resh, and I write a dalet and I scratch off the top right corner to make it into a resh, etc. Is that chaktochos or not? The Rashba says not. We paskin that's chaktochos. We paskin that if you write too much of a letter, I don't mean like the nun sofit is long, you want to make it shorter. It's already nun sofit. But if you write so much that it's not a letter and then you scratch off the extra ink, that's called chaktochos because you're taking a non-letter blot of ink and scratching away to make a letter. The machlokes, that everyone agrees to by the time you get to the Shulchan Aruch. The machlokas between the Ramah and the Magen Avraham is, what about the following case? Let's say I start writing a letter. I start writing a kuf, and I accidentally write a dalet. I'm supposed to write a resh and then the leg, and I accidentally write a dalet. So I scratch off the edge of the dalet, and then I write the leg. Or, you know, anything. I'm supposed to be writing a resh, and I accidentally go too far and make a dalet before I go down. So I scratch off that corner, and then I go down. What if I make the beginning of the letter through chaktochos, and then I finish the letter through ksiva? That is the machlokas between the Ramah and the Magen Avraham. Says the Ramah that it's only chaktochos if I finish by scratching off. If I scratch off and make the first half of the letter, and then I add with normal writing the second half of the letter, that is good enough. Okay, Pesach Tzavitz says that in his tefillin factory, they actually do it differently, and they do like Rashi's pshat, and instead of a press from the outside to be more machmir, they use a press from the inside, like the tzitz. Okay, good chidushim. We'll have to check what all the factories do nowadays. But in any case, going back, Ramah says, if I make the first half of the letter through chaktochos, but then make the second half of the letter through ksiva mamish, that's good enough. And the Magen Avraham says, not true. He says, but in kolos, like the ksiva, he quotes the Radach that it's no good. Okay, he also quotes after the Maram, al Ashkar as well. And then he quotes that the Beis Yosef agrees with the Ramah. Fine, so what do we make of this machlokes? So one way to analyze this machlokes is many things in halacha are machlokes in terms of units. How do you define the unit? Meaning, do you define a unit as a letter, in which case the letter was made through ksiva, or do you find a unit as a part of a letter, in which case part of the letter is made through chotochos and part of it through ksiva, so part of it's puzzle. So often in halacha, it's just, this is what we call an issue of granularity. It's just a question of, do you look at each part separately or the letter together? The Ramah looks at the letter as a whole. If you complete the letter through ksiva, it's ksiva. And the Magen Avraham looks at each part separately, and therefore, if the first part is chotochos, the first part is puzzle. In which case, when you have machlokas about granularity, it's usually not lumdus, it's just a question of where to draw the line. But you could also look at this machlokas, and this is what the Rav suggests. I don't know if it's in the Shiram here, but it's brought down in the Masorah Journal. The Rav suggests it might depend on our chakira. I'm not sure. It could just be an issue of granularity. But how would it depend on our chakira? He would say like this. If the chisorin is that it's not a maisek siva, then as long as you finish the letter through a maisek siva, you have your maisek siva. You don't need the maisek siva on every bit. As long as you do a maisek siva and you finish with the maisek siva, that should be good enough. But if the if the first half was just not done through a maisek siva, then do the maisek siva in the second half, and that's fine. But if the first half wasn't even ksav, we don't even view it as a result of writing, it's ki'ilu, there's nothing there. Then if I add the second half, I put the second half, but there's no first half, and it's as if the whole letter's not there. So the Rav also suggests, how about this case? The case is where you started the letter, hitchil b'chaktochos b'gamar ha'os al yedei ksiva, suggest the Rav that if you said that the first half was ksav but not a maisek siva, then it's good enough to a maisek siva in the second half, and you've been kosev the oath. Then he would say, like the Ramah, it is kosher because the first half is written. It just wasn't written with a maisa. So you do a maisa in the second half, and that's fine. But if you say the first half wasn't even written, it's as if there's nothing there, it's as if it doesn't exist, then how does it help to make the second half? The first half doesn't exist. You don't have the first half. And then he would say, like the Magen Avraham, that it is puzzle. Again, the difference is, according to the Magen Avraham, the first half doesn't exist. So how does it help to add the second half? According to the Ramah, the first half does exist, like the Ran. The first half does exist. It's just that it wasn't written properly. So if you do a proper writing in the second half, maybe that's good enough. Okay, so this is the Rav's Chakir and Chatochos. Theoretically, if you wanted to, you could deny the Chakir and say each of these machlok is about something else. But Pashup Shat, there was a request that everyone put their computers on mute unless they have something to say, just because it's getting a little too much noise for everyone. So I request everyone to put themselves on mute until you have something to say. Of course, feel free to say something whenever you want. Hopefully that will be better. This is the Rav's Chakira. Do you say it's as if there's nothing written? It's as if there's nothing there, or there's something there. It was just wasn't done through a maisek siva. It was done begrama, or it was done mimela, you know, which are probably two ways of saying similar things. And his nafkamina was, if nothing's there, then you're pater on Shabbos. You haven't done anything. If something's there, you just didn't do it in a direct maisa, you're still chayiv on Shabbos, because melech machshavas asur Torah, and that's a smart way to do it. Second nafkamina, the shen of tefillin. If nothing's there, then it's puzzle for the shen of tefillah. If something's there, it just was not created through ksiva, then there's a shin there. You don't need to do ksiva of the shin, you just need a shin. Third nafkamina is the Torah's getting chakira. If nothing's there, then it's what to erase. Nothing's there. If something's there, it just wasn't done through an official maisek siva, then lachor should be also erased. There's still a shem Hashem there. Fourth nafkamina, from a slightly different angle, is machlokas Ramah Magen Avraham. What if the first half of the letter is chotochos? If nothing's there, then the first half's not there. So it should be puzzle, even if you finish it normally. But if something's there, it just wasn't through a maisek siva, then maybe it's okay. If you finish it through a maisek siva, then hakol holech achra sof, and you've done a maisek siva of the letter. Okay, that is the Rav's Chakira about chotochos. Now I think we're ready to go on in the Gemara. Unless someone has a question, now's your chance to unmute yourself and shout.
Question?
Yes.
What does Rabbi think about two contradictory diukim in the Ramah? In terms of, is it any amount of ksav, whether before or after the chaktuchos, you're fine? Or is it only after you've done the chakika, finishing off the ksiva is machshir?
I'm not sure I understand what you meant.
If the beginning of the Ramah is v'lo mikri chaktuchos, ela kishakol ha'os nasa kach. That implies that if any amount was ksav, whether before the chakika or after, then you'd be fine.
I see. So if you look at the other amas around, it's clear that that's not the proper diuk. If the end is chaktochos, it's a problem.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, and there's more lumbus, but we'll leave it at that. Let's go weiter in the Gemara. Says the Gemara. Okay, we already discussed this in the previous year. Tana Rabbanan. Hareza Gitach Vanir Shali Eina Megureshes. Hareza Gitach Vanir Shali Eina Megureshes. 1 second. Okay. We mentioned earlier already that there seems to be a machlokus as to what the reason for this psul is. I'm going to erase the board if that's okay with everyone. What's the psul here? And we saw two different opinions as to what the psul was, and we said that might have to do with our hakir, the ktos, and the grach about what nesinas get means. We won't review all of that right now, but if we said here, Behaniyar Shali, what's the psul? So Rashi says that there's no nesina, which works well if nesina means hakna. Another phrase for that was osios. Orchos ba'avir. Like you're giving her letters, but you're not giving her any concrete object. And Rambam says, because it's a lack of krisos. You're not separating from the get because you're still holding onto the get. Right? The lashon of the Rambam is, I think we had already mentioned this, the lashon of the Rambam is, okay, that is pretty clear. The Ritva here has a third shita. It's not really a third shita. The Ritva here, I don't think he needs to say this. It's pretty clear in the Ritva he doesn't need to say this, but the Ritva says he heard both shitas. He knows about both these theories, and he says they're both true. It's not that he needs to say they're both true. It just happens to be that he thinks they're both true. It's not lacking the scene, and it's also a lack of krisis. Okay. Let us continue in the Gemara then. Al-Manasha tafzir liyista niyar reze migureshes. However, if he says al-Manas that you return the niyar, then she is migureshes. And Tosos here points out, Tosos does not have a big chiddush here. He basically just quotes us a shakla v'tariya from later on in Daf Ayin Hey, that there's two different opinions why al-Manasha tafzir liyista niyar is better. One opinion in Daf Ayin Hey, which we don't paskin like, is that al-Manas means Mikana Lahaba, when you give it back to me, you'll be Megureshes. And then the reason it is kosher is because the Tanai is Batel. It's an improper Tanai, either because the Tanai is within the object that contradicts the Chalos, or because you didn't say it in the right order. And so one opinion later on is that it's an improper Tanai, and really, you're giving her the get, even if she doesn't return the paper. So obviously it's kosher. She keeps the get, even without returning the paper. The second opinion, the one we paskin like, is called Kala Omer Almanaska Omer Me'ach Shabdami. That when you say Almanas, you mean retroactively. What you mean to say is you're divorced now retroactively. When you give me the paper back in 3 days, you're divorced now retroactively. And then it's okay because right now it's her paper. 3 days later, 3 years later, 3 weeks later, whenever she wants, she'll give it back to you. But since right now it's her paper, it is a proper divorce. And when she gives it back to you, that's giving you a new matana later and has nothing to do with now. Okay, Tosa points out the nafkamina is, if you say the tanai is batal mevutal, then even if she doesn't give you back the paper, she's divorced. That's not how we paskin. If you say like we paskin, the tanai is shari v'kayim. It's just that when she gives it back to you later, she's divorced now retroactively. And therefore, at the time she was divorced, she owned the paper. Then she's only divorced if she returned the paper. That's how we paskin. Now the Gemara asks, Ba'i Rav Papa, Bein Shita L'Shita Bein Teva L'Teva Ma'u. What if the guy says, it's a weird case, he says, Hareat Megureshes V'Anir Shali, but he doesn't say all the paper is mine. He knows you have to give your wife the get. He says only the blank space is mine. Lachora, it sounds a little from here like, and Tosfos will do that a little later. If he says the blank space on the margin is mine, that would be okay, because that has nothing to do with the get. But what if he says the blank space in between the lines or in between the words, right? Either the blank space vertically in between the lines or the blank space horizontally in between the words is mine, right? The Rach here points out, technical issue we're not going to get into. Rabbeinu Hananel sounds like he's reading as two different cases. He says the paper between the lines is mine, or the paper between the words is mine. Rashi here sounds clearly like it's all one case. He says all the paper between the lines and between the words is mine. But in any case, what if he's Meshayer the white space? So my teku, we don't know the answer. The Gemara says, "V'tepegle to say for Echad Amar Chumana v'lo Shnayim Shlosos Sfarim." Says it should be pasul that it's pasul because you have to give one get and not two or three pieces. And here, if you leave out the space in between the lines, then you're giving her two or three separate pieces. So the answer is, the Gemara seems to assume, and Hanami, you're right. It really would be pasul because Shnayim Shlosos Sfarim lo tzricha de'meura. The only case we need to have a Ibaya that's a teku, the case where Papa asked about that was a teku, was only when it's ma'ura, when it is mixed. What does mixed mean? When each line and each word reaches the other ones, right? Because you have lamids going up, and you have nun sofits and kufs going down, and tzadi, et cetera, tzadi sofits and pe sofits, et cetera, going, and chuf sofits going down, and therefore, even if you took out the white space, it would still all be attached. Because there's always a nun going down and a lamed going up that even if you cut out the white space, attaches each line to the other line and each word to the other word. And it's a very rare, weird case. And that's the case where Mesotah. But Enochanami, in a normal get, where there was white space between the lines, then it would be possible because of Shnayim Veshlosha Svarim. Okay, and that is a teku, seemingly.
The ma'ura would have to be on every single line of the get.
Correct. The ma'ura would have to be on every single line. Not only on every single line, but Rashi says on every single word in every single line. Like each word would have to be connected to, Kilo, like this. This word would have to be connected to this word, and this word to this word, and this word to this word, etc. And so too for all the lines. It would be a really, really, really weird case. Okay. Yeah, the Gemara is allowed to ask about really, really weird cases, you know, that is legit in Gemara. Let's just get shot in the Gemara here. A few questions. Number one, what do we mean that it would be Shnayim or Shlosha Svarim? After all, it's not Shnayim or Shlosha Svarim. It's all one piece of paper. Who cares about the fact that Baal is keeping the white space in between the lines? It's still one piece of paper, so why is it Shnayim Shlosha Svarim? The Maskana of the Gemara seems to be that Bivadai it's puzzle in a normal get, as Morty pointed out. The way Rashi says, it would be a weird get that would never happen in a gazillion years. That would be the Baya of Rav Papa. In a normal get, it would be puzzle because it's, you know, 12 different Svarim, or however many lines they had in those days. Why is it considered Shnayim Shlosha Svarim if it's only one piece of paper? So, what's the psul of Shnayim Veshlosha Svarim? I don't mean Mamish Shnayim Veshlosha Svarim. If you write, you know, five different post-it notes and write part of the get on each one. I mean, in this case, why is it Shnayim Veshlosha Svarim? So, over here, the Ran says, Aaron will get to that. Over here, the Ran says that his lashon is kolomomed. I'll even read you the Ran. If I recall correctly, Zandaf Yudam and Aleph Bedafim. You don't have to turn. It's only a few words. Says the Ran here.
Omed b'kitzicha.
Exactly. Kolomomed dechaven de l'kitzicha koi ke katzot dami. Since it is has to be chopped, meaning when I own part of the paper and you own part of the paper, that means halachically it has to be cut. Because each of us deserve our half of the paper, right? So halachically, I have the right to my white space, you have the right to your letters. So that means it has to be cut, and the Ran assumes whatever is going to be cut is as if it is cut. Okay, the Achronim of Big Dion, do we normally paskin all over Shas that whatever has to be done is as if it's done? This is the famous sheet of Rav Shimon, the Kolomid Lister of Kesarif Dami, Kolomid Lister of other Dami, Kolomid Lister of Kesarif Dami, etc. And it's a big machlokas we've shown them whether we paskin that way in Kolotar Kula or whether we do not paskin that way in Kolotar Kula. For some reason, I have in my head that we discussed this recently in Shir, but I don't remember in which Masechet.
Is in the Nida Shir.
For nails.
For nails and hair. We discussed it in Nida.
We did discuss it in Nida Shir. I have it in my head we discussed it in Gemara Shir also. But that's
Sukkah, we discussed it.
Okay, but wherever we discussed it. But you're right, it did come up in Nida Shir, absolutely. So, the says the Ran, He says, Omed Liktzotz Ke Kotzotz Dummy. That's the Ran. But this is controversial because it seems to be machlokas tanan whether it's something that's omed for something as if it's already happened, and it's not clear how we paskin. It's a machlokas achronim all the way going to the very, very small fun people on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, how we paskin in this machlokas tanoim. And okay, whether there are exceptions, etc., not getting into it. There's another possibility. The other possibility is what the Rav suggested as another pasha. This is the Rav's Kiddush. I think that it's you can easily say that if you assume that Nisina means Hakna'a, if you assume, you don't have to, but if you assume Nisina means Hakna'a, and the Rav does suggest this, then you could say it's not because since it has to be cut, it's as if it's cut. It's that you have to be Makna her. And here you weren't Makna her one piece, because since you're only Makna her this stripe, and not this stripe, and this stripe, and not this stripe, and this stripe, you were Makna her separate pieces, because the pieces you were Makna her are not attached. Here it gets tricky, because they are physically attached, they're just not attached within the Hakna'a. So maybe you could say that within the Hakna'a, they are separate pieces. So actually, you could say that's the psul shtayim shloshes farim. Not that omed liktzos kikotzes dummy. We paskin omed le x is not ke x dummy, but rather that within the hakna'a, your makna are separate pieces. They're attached physically, but in the hakna'a, they're not attached. Or you could say like the, yes, Isaac.
Yeah, I mean, can you just explain again just how, why would we differentiate between physical attachment and hakna attachment? Like, why wouldn't we use the same standards?
So what I mean to say is, if nasan means hakna and not physical nasina, right? If nasan means a hakna and not a physical nasina, like Rav Chaim, or maybe even like our compromise position, then what was I makna to her? I was makna to her to the top inch, not the second inch, but the third inch, not the fourth inch, but the fifth inch, not the sixth inch, but the seventh inch. So I was makna her the first, third, fifth, and seventh inches. Those are not consecutive with each other. Those are separate pieces, right? So therefore, what I physically gave her was one safer. It was omed liktzos, but it was one safer. But what I mumminous financially was makna, transferred ownership of to her, was four different pieces. Because since I only gave her ownership of the first, third, fifth, and seventh inches, and not the second, fourth, and sixth inches, therefore, what I was makna her was different svarim. That's what I mean by within the haknah.
And also Shayla, could it be that the sentences aren't even sentences if the spaces in between them are not sort of belonging to the same script? Like, if in between each word is a space which does not belong to the same like owner or document, maybe the sentence doesn't even read anymore.
That's an interesting question, but the sentence does read, because Lamaisa, I can read it. That's why I'm
right,
not going
she, to read it. She needs a safer. She needs a safer of something. She needs a safer, and she does not own something legible. She owns pieces.
So you just said the word own. So if you said the word own, I think you're saying the same thing I am in different words. What she owns is not... okay, you're
she owns
not
a puzzle
getting into Shnayim or Shlosh's Svarim necessarily. What you're saying is once I'm looking within the Hakna'a, just say that it's not readable anymore. That's obviously not what the Gemara seems to be saying. So Lechora, what the Gemara is assuming is that readability is more of, if you can read it, you can read it. It doesn't matter if you own the right to read it. You don't have to own the ability to read it. And therefore, you're right. Yeah. If I cut out the white space, you can read it. But ability to read is not something you have to own. You just have to own the Chefza. And here the problem is you're owning separate heftas. Okay, here Rav Chaim says something brilliant. He starts by asking a different question. He asks the following question, to which I will offer a different answer. But my answer is more radical than his. He says, how come the Rambam, there are three answers to this question, one boring and two interesting. Whoever likes the boring answer, feel free to do so, but you know, you'll sort of lose a notch in my eyes.
And become an actuary.
The Okay, let it go.
Okay, go on.
I don't want to. Whatever. Okay. Anyway, Lemaisa, why did the Rambam leave out the din of Shnayim Shlosha Svarim? Meaning, forget about the inyan of Shir, Nir, Ben Tevla, Teva, Ben Shita, Lashita, all this weirdness is. How about Mamish Shnayim Shlosha Svarim? What if I write the get on six different post-it notes? How come the Rambam left out that din that it's puzzle? Why did the Rambam leave out the psul of Shnayim Shlosha Svarim? So, okay, you won't really go down a notch in my eyes. The non-lumdish way of answering the question on the Rambam is, you know why the Rambam left out the din of Shnayim Shlosha Svarim? Because the Gemara never brings it down as its own din. It only brings it as a kasha and a shakla v'tarya. And since the Gemara didn't bring it down in its own independent discussion, the Rambam didn't quote it. The Rambam only quotes dinim, which the Gemara brings down in their own discussions, not dinim, which the Gemara just brings down in the context of shakla v'tarya. Okay, that's a very technical answer to the Rambam. And it could be true. Could be the Rambam never quoted the din of Shnayim Shlosha Svarim because the Gemara only mentions it as a side, as an Agav Orcha in a Shakla V'Tarya. And the Rambam's policy is not to mention everything quoted as an Agav Orcha in Shakla V'Tarya.
Did somebody check that policy?
No, I just made that policy up. I figured you would. I have a chazaka that you will not go to sleep tonight until you've checked that policy. Okay, but that's not the answer I like anyway. That's why I didn't check the policy. Abe, my chazaka is right, no?
No, I don't think so.
Really? Okay, fine. So we'll have to get someone else. Anyway,
I'm too old to do that.
Okay, you could say Stam, the Rambam didn't quote it because it's not mentioned independently in the Gemara. But Rav Chaim says a lumdish reason. Says Rav Chaim, this is a very brisker. The very classic brisker Rav Chaim, even though it's only a stencil, it's a classic brisker Rav Chaim. What do briskers love to do? To say there's a din, which doesn't actually have any practical ramifications. It just has conceptual ramifications that then indirectly lead to practical results. Says Rav Chaim, there is no nafkamina the psul of Shnayim v'shlosha svarim. Why is there no nafkamina the psul of Shnayim v'shlosha svarim? Because, says Rav Chaim, if you would write it on two different post-it notes, it wouldn't be a shtar. Rav Chaim assumes a get has to be a shtar, not a crazy assumption. And a shtar has to be something that proves something. If there are two post-it notes, then that doesn't prove anything because neither one of them establishes any result. You have to put them together. And therefore, it is not a shtar. A shtar has, how do you know the two post-it notes go together? Right? So it's not a shtar because there's no way to know which post-it notes go with which post-it notes. And therefore, it doesn't prove anything. So says Rav Chaim, it's obvious that two or three different pieces of paper are puzzle because they're not even a shtar. So, ask Rav Chaim, so what's going on in our sugya? And Rav Chaim says the psul in our sugya isn't because of Shnayim v'shlosha svarim. He says he denies all my answers until now. Don't say, omid liktos v'katzitz dami, it's not true, we don't hold that way. Don't say within the haknah, I don't believe in this within the haknah thing. Either it's one safer or it's two svarim. Rather, says Rav Chaim, what's the psul? The psul is krisos. Why does the Gemara call it Shnayim v'shlosha svarim? Says Rav Chaim like this. He says, it's not that the psul is that it's two or three svarim. It's that since you need the white space to connect things, because otherwise it would be two or three svarim, since the white space is integral to making it a Heftah Shel Sefer, therefore the white space is an integral part of the get. Since the white space is an integral part of the get, therefore, if you leave out the white space, you have left out an integral part of the get, and therefore it's a psul of krisus because the baal has not totally separated himself from the get. Where Chaim is saying is this, lu yitzur, you would be allowed to give two or three svarim. I know you wouldn't really be allowed to give two or three svarim because then the shtar doesn't prove anything. But lu yitzur, theoretically, a chefza could be two or three pieces, then the white space would not be an integral part of the chefza. But since there's a din of Shnayim v'shlosha svarim, which means it needs to be one piece. Not only needs to be one piece because it has to prove something. Needs to be one piece as part of the Hagdoras HaChefza. Since the Hagdoras HaChefza needs to be one piece, then the white space is integral because it unites it into one piece. Once the white space is integral, if you don't give her the white space, you're keeping an integral part of the get. When you keep an integral part of the get, that is the pagam of krisus. So he says it's not that it's a psul of Shnayim v'shlosha svarim. Just that the din of Shnayim v'shlosha svarim is an igloi milsa, that the white space is an integral part of the get. So that is Reb Chaim. Let's see if we can make him a little embassy here.
When Reb Chaim is talking about the white space, is he referring to the white space that's behind the letters themselves, or that
no,
doesn't,
the white
doesn't
space
come
between,
to account?
In between the lines.
But the what's with the white space that's behind the letters themselves?
No, that the guy's giving to his wife. He's only leaving out the white space in between the lines.
So when Rashi says Osios Parchos Ba'avir, he
means no, that's talking about the previous space of the Gemara. Look at my whiteboard. Rashi's talking about the first column of my whiteboard. Now we're talking about the second column of my whiteboard.
Okay.
Megalalanu Sha'avir Bain Shita Lishita. Who, may Iker Chefza shall get. That's where Reb Chaim's brisker thing. It's not that if you leave it out, it's a psul because it is two or three svarim. No, it's just that since it's not allowed to be two or three svarim, that makes the white space important. And once the white space is important, if you leave it out, it's a psul of krisas because you left out, you did refuse to give her, you kept holding on to a crucial part of the get. Okay, that is shnayim v'shlosha svarim. And that's Reb Chaim's answer. Why didn't the Rambam bring down shnayim v'shlosha svarim? Because there's no chiddush that it's puzzle. The chiddush is just that it's definitional to the chefza shel get, which is through an igloi milsa, makes an afkamina in terms of it obviously being a pagam of krisas to leave that space out. The third part of the Gemara is, what if you leave out the in me'ura, right? This is the suffix. Me'ura at least seems to be a teku. What about the teku of me'ura, right? So here we have shir.
Wait, Rebbe, quick, Shaila.
Please.
Can you again explain exactly why the white makes it a chetz of a get?
Because since you're not allowed, since a get is not allowed to be two or three svarim, therefore, integral to the chetz of the get is its unity, that it's all one sefer. Integral to the chetz of the get is that each word is connected to each other word. If integral to the cheft of the get is that each word is connected to each other word, then this blank space that connects them is part of the integral cheft of the get. That's Reb Chaim's chak. Very, very brisker Bart. And Reuyim Advarin Lamisha Umran. Let's just take the last stage of the Gemara and then maybe ask ourselves some other questions. How about the case of Shear Bain Shita Lishita Bimeure, right? In Meure, remember what Meure means. Meure means that all the letters are sticking into all the other letters. All the letters are, let's say, Aaron for now, touching every other letter. And therefore, even if you cut out the white space, it's like a paper cut. Even if you cut out the white space, it's still all attached, right? The paper cuts, and this they don't really make paper cuts this way. But imagine you would cut out the white space and everything would still be attached to everything. So then that is a teku. But what's the teku? Why would it be puzzle? After all, there's no problem with Shnayim Shlosha Svarim. Even if the husband takes back all that white space, even if he takes scissors and cuts back all the white space, then it's still attached. So what could the problem possibly be? Here we have a machlokes of everyone versus the Meiri. What does everyone say? Meaning, if we go back, the problem is clearly not Shnayim Shlosha Svarim. It's all one safer, even if you take it back. Seemingly. The problem is not Osius Parchos Ba'avir. No, you gave her all the white space that's necessary, all the near that's necessary for the get. So what's the problem? So L'chora, Rov Rishonim say here, that here even Rashi has to admit that the problem is Krisos. Here the problem is Krisos. After all, you're still keeping for yourself something that's on the paper of the get, not something integral. You're keeping for yourself an optional part of the get that's not really so important, but you're still keeping for yourself part of the shtar. And in what's the teku? The teku is you kept for yourself part of the shtar that's not necessary and that's not integral, but it's still part of the shtar. So is that a chisaron of krisos? Because krisos means you need a total separation. You need to even separate from the unimportant parts of the shtar. Or no, as long as you separate it from the relevant parts of the shtar, that is good enough. That's the teku. The Me'iri has a tremendous chiddush. Who learns it very differently. This is the Das Yochid. Says the Me'iri. And this is the Tema. He says it's still a soul of Shnayim Vishlosha Svarim. How is it a soul of Shnayim Vishlosha Svarim? This is the Das Yochid of the Me'iri. I don't really have a great understanding of it. But the Me'iri says the problem is that it's still called two or three Svarim because it's not fully attached. Whatever is not fully attached is as if it's separate pieces. That's a big chiddush, because it's not fully attached, right? It's just like attached a little here, a little there. The Me'iri says whatever is not fully attached is separate pieces. He even quotes, there was some Rishon Ashkenaz went so far that if, when the guy did sirtut on the get, he cut a little too much, you have like one cut in the middle of the get, a whole big rectangle with one tiny cut in the middle, some people said that was pasul, because since it's not fully attached, it's as if it's two or three svarim. That's a big chiddush, just because it's not fully attached, it's as if it's not one piece. Really? Something that has a little cut here, a little cut there is not one piece. Big chiddush, but that's what the Me'iri says, a big chiddush, but that's not the Pashup shot. Pashup shot is by the time you get to Rapapa, the only suffix is whether it's a psol of krisos or not. As a matter of fact, some achronim even want to say the Ibai of Rav Papa is the machlokas Rashi and Rambam in the right in the first column of the board. If you say the problem on Nir Shali is that you haven't given her anything, here you've given her enough. If they say the problem on Nir Shali is krisos, here it's not krisos. Okay, but in any case, lechoritz of gamin krisos. The Me'iri is a das yach. Now I just want to ask a couple of questions. The first question we have was. Yes, please.
Does anyone say or understand that any of the approaches that are showing him that the pagam is like there's a step in between the ksiv and the sina because you need to now theoretically cut out whatever belongs to him?
I don't think so because you did the nesina without cutting it out. You don't have to cut it out to give it to her. You gave it to her without cutting it out.
So like when you lump things together, that some of it belongs to him, some of it belongs to her, it's still a good nesina for getting.
I mean, maybe. I wouldn't say it's a problem with chus or something, because you don't have to do anything. Okay, so what questions do we still have outstanding? We still had a few questions outstanding. Number one, why did the Rambam leave out Shnayim Vishlosha Svarim? You could say technically it just wasn't important enough to mention, or you could say like Rav Chaim, you never really have a case where you need the psul of Shnayim Vishlosha Svarim. It's just an Iglai Milsa of the psul of Krisus. The other question we had was, or we can ask, is what's the halacha l'maisa in this teku? Pashup shot in this teku, how should we paskin? Meaning, how should we paskin about leaving out? Okay, I'm going to have to erase this board. I will ask everyone to finish copying down the board. I'm also going to have to ask, saving the board. Ask Morty. Morty, do you think it's fair for me to go past 1 o'clock to make up for the time that I was called away on an emergency call? Morty?
It's your call.
Okay. Morty says it is fair and he would prefer. Okay. Thank you. I'm going to erase this board and I'm going to just ask a few kashas and we're going to see if we can say something radical. So what is the first kasha? The first kasha is... why did the Rambam Hishmit Psul of Beis Vegimel Svarim? Okay, I really have to work on my handwriting here. Or I have to call Morty. He'll give me advice on a stylus, maybe. So one answer is Stam. Right, it just wasn't important because it only comes up Agav Orcha. Second answer is Rav Chaim. Says Rav Chaim, it never really has a case because two pieces of paper are puzzle even without this. It's obvious two pieces of paper are puzzle. And it only has an Iglai Milsa indirectly, and that's why he didn't bring it. Okay, the third answer, we will leave ourselves some room for. Second question is, what's the Psak Halacha if he was Shear Bain Shita Lishita? What's the pashup shot? The pashup shot in our Gemara should be that if it's not Me'ura, it's Pashal because of Shnayim V'Shlosha Svarim, and if it is Me'ura, it's Suffix because it's a Teku. Right? That's the pashup shot. Yep. Right? So the shot is that Me'ura is a Suffix because it's a Teku, and Eino Me'ura is Eino Get. The tour, the ones and twos have nothing to do with each other. The tour says something surprising. What is the tour paskin? The tour paskins.
Eino Me'ura. No
get. Efilu Me'ura Eino Get. Why is that surprising? Why is that surprising? Because
Rav Papa
says teku if it's me'ura. You have no right to be poshe to teku. We know we have a rule. Rishonim have no right to be poshe to teku. Rishonim have the right to paskin a machlok samaraim. But there's an accepted rule that if the Gemara leaves a b'teku, Rishonim have no right to be poshe to teku. We can't say we know an answer to a question when Chazal and the Gemara, the Amoraim, said it was a teku. So how could the Torah be poshe to teku? How could he say it is puzzle? So what do you have to say? All the Achronim say the same thing. They just say it in different ways. That, what did I just say? Forgetting the weird Das Yachid of the Meiri. I said the suffix of Rav Papa was it was suffix within the din of Krisus Be'inon. Right? And what was his suffix? Do we only need Krisus from the important necessary parts of the get? Or do we even need Krisus from the irrelevant unnecessary parts of the get? Right? That was Rav Papa's suffix, and he left it b'teku. What's the only way you're allowed to be poshut b'teku? Even this is a chiddush. But if you find another Gemara where the Amoraim were poshut that question, then you're allowed to be poshut b'teku. Says the Chasam Sofer here, and all the Achronim say this in one form or another. Remember Daf Tesam and Aleph. What happened in Daf Tesam and Aleph? We had the case where I gave my Eved a Shtar Shechrer, and I said, or it wasn't Shtar Shechrer, I said, Kol Nechasai Knuyin Lach Chutz Bei Karka Kol Shehu. Right, whether I said the words Chutz Bei Karka Kol Shehu, or I said Chutz from this particular piece of Karka, meaning I gave him everything, including all of himself, except for a little Karka. And what was the Maskana of the Gemara? The Maskana of the Gemara is that why does he not go free? Because Krisus Bidlav Kruski Tehu, because you need Krisus Veleka. And there are different ways to read that Gemara. Remember, there was Rashbam and Basra that is only. But how did most people read this Gemara? The way most people read this Gemara was, since I, the Baal, left out some of the land, the Baal failed to disassociate himself. He remained connected to some of the land. He remained connected to one little patch of, daffodil farm someplace. Therefore, it's a Begam and Krisus. What do we see from Daf Tes? That the scum of the Gemara in Daf Tes, actually, who was talking Daf Tes? That Rav Ashi in Daf Tes, and Rav Ashi is considered to come after Rav Papa and Sofer Ra and be able to be poshate and override Rav Papa. Rav Ashi in Daf Tes said that Krisus means the husband even has to separate from the irrelevant parts of the get, like the daffodil farm. Now, I understand it's not exactly the same. Daf Tes was talking about separating from the irrelevant content of the get, like there's daffodil farm and there's the event. Here in Daf Chaf, we're talking about separating from the irrelevant paper of the get, the blank paper that's not necessary between the lines. But, says the Chasam Sofer, maybe the Torah put two and two together, Rav Papa's suffix was, do you need Krisus only from the important parts or even from the unimportant, irrelevant parts? On Daf Tes, Rav Ashi was already poshate for us that you need Krisus to be separate even from the irrelevant parts. Therefore, Rav Ashi was poshate to the Ibaya of Rav Papa, and we pass like Rav Ashi against the Ibaya of Rav Papa. That is Lechora, the Hezber of the Tor. The Hezber of the Tor is Rav Ashi on Daf Tesam and Aleph, Pashat Diba'inan. Krisus, the husband needs to separate himself, me kol hashtar, from the whole shtar, even the unimportant, irrelevant parts. Okay, he's just making a stu shtal from substantive other parts of the shtar to physical other parts of the paper. Okay, that's maybe the Torah. The Rambam, what does the Rambam say? Trick question. What does the Rambam say about the Ibai of Rav Papa of Shir Ben Shita L'Shita U Ben Teva L'Teva? What does the Rambam say?
Nothing.
Nothing whatsoever. Nothing whatsoever. All the Rambam says is the first line of the Gemara. He says, Hareza Gitech V'Hanir Sheli Ein Amigureshe She'ein Zekrisos. Then he goes to Almanas. He never discusses Ben Shita L'Shita Ben Teva L'Teva. Not Me'ura, not Eino Me'ura, he never discussed it. Why would the Rambam leave all this out? Why would the Rambam leave it out? Now, here I guess you could say the Rambam just left it out because he wasn't in the mood to discuss it, but that's a little trickier, meaning the Gemara has a discussion where Papa bothers to bring it up in the Gemara. Usually, if a Papa asks a question about something, and the Gemara is a shaka vatari to paskin it, the Rambam should form it. So why did the Rambam leave all of this out? So here, I think you could go two ways in the Rambam. One way in the Rambam is... How about the Rambam? The Rambam says nothing. One way, which I admit is the way most Achronim go in the Rambam. This is supposed to be a number three. One way, the way most Achronim say in the Rambam is that the Rambam is like the Torah. Mainly, you have one Rishon who says something that's a Chiddush. So you might as well put the Ram there also. The Ram means, the Haniyar Shali means any amount of the Niyar. Even if I just keep myself one tiny square millimeter of the Niyar. And the Ram is like the Torah. What's the Svar of the Ram? Same as Svar of the Torah. That is what many Achronim say.
Right.
If you want to look on your Bar Ilan, the Merkavis HaMishnah says it there. Oh, many Achronim say it. If you want to ask Chaim, he could look in the Masifta and give you a list of 20 Achronim who say this in the
Rambam. No. Just the Chasam Sofer, Ksav Sofer, Kedushas Yisrael, Mikhtav Me'elio.
Okay, and I could add more, but it's not important. So number one, he means he is saying like the Torah. That's one possibility. However, I'll just tell you, I was not satisfied with that. And I kept looking in the Achronim until I found someone a little obscure who said what I wanted to say. That's the advantage of the computers nowadays. When I was first started giving Shir B'Ion and I wanted to say something, I had to say it on my own. Nowadays, you never have to say something on your own. You just come up with your pshat and you keep looking in Bar Ilan until you find someone who said it. And worse comes to worse, you call Chaim and he looks in the Masifta and finds someone who says it. But I didn't even have to call Chaim. I found in the Bar Ilan. What did I want to say in the Rambam? I wanted to say in the Rambam, Azoy, that Pshat in the Rambam, Hareza Gitech V'Hanir Shali Einim Gureshes, Pshat Hanir Shali sounds like all the Niyar is mine. Pashim Pshat in the Rambam, I tell my wife, this is your get, but I'm keeping the paper. It means I'm keeping all the paper. I thought Pshat in the Rambam was, if I keep all the paper, it's no good. But if I only keep the white space, then it is good. Against our Gemara. Our Gemara said, if I only keep the white space, if it's not Me'ura, it's no good. And if it's Me'ura, it's Suffolk. But I thought Pashim Shad in the Rambam was no. If I say all the paper is mine, it's no good. Okay, it's Machlokas. What is Hanir Shali? It's not clear. You could say it means like the Torah. If I keep any of the paper, it's no good. But I thought Shad in the Rambam was if I keep all the paper, it's no good. Hanir Shali, if I say the paper's mine, what if I say the white space is mine? I don't see the Rambam saying that's no good. Hanir means all the near. So I think you can like, if you disagree, then you hold the Rambam as like the Torah, you're a Seder. But I thought maybe you could say like the Rambam that no, that all white space is okay. No, it's okay to be Mishari the white space. But then the problem is that's against our Gemara. Our Gemara says, Shnayim Mishulcha Svarim, it's possible if you're Mishayir the white space. How could the Rambam be against our Gemara? Either way is against our Gemara, but one way is against our Gemara, and they already answered for the Torah. How could you say what I think of the Rambam, and I only found one person who agreed with me, the Shari Karban. How could you say this? So I thought you could say like this. And here, I apologize, I'm going to read you a Rambam I didn't mention yet. I might even read you two Rambams I haven't mentioned yet. Let me read you two Rambams that I haven't mentioned yet. If you have a Rambam, you could follow. Perek Dalet Halacha Chaf Dalet. Right? Let me start rather with Tosos. Tosos, the Masvel Sefer Echad Amar Rechman, Loshnayim, Shlosh, Sfarim, asked two questions. His first question is, don't we say later on that sefer means l'sfiras devarim hudasa? Sefer doesn't mean a sefer. If sefer meant a sefer, it would have to be klaf. Or at least like Rav Yosei, we would compromise with sefer and we call makom, and it would have to be a non-food and a non-animal. But we say sefer means sfiras devarim. It just has to tell a story, and you don't need a chetz of sefer. So he says, nonetheless, we call makom darshin and ami have trasha dahacha. Even though sefer means sfiras devarim, you could also darshin sefer echad v'loshnayim v'shlosha svarim. Okay, maybe means sfiras devarim echad v'loshnayim v'shlosha sfiras devarim. Okay, says Tosfos, Kasha one of Tosfos is that sefer means sfiras devarim, it doesn't mean sefer. Nonetheless, you could darshin sefer echad v'loshnayim v'shlosha svarim. Kasha two of Tosos is, doesn't it say in a furish Mishnah and Daf Pei Zayin Amid Beis that if you write the get in two columns, it's okay? Right. And yet, that if you write the get in two columns, it's okay. So doesn't that show two Svarim is okay in a get? You write again in two columns, okay, two Svarim is okay. And Tosos answers, no, two columns is not called two Svarim. Only two different pages is called two Svarim. Two columns is called one Sefer. So Tosfos has two kashas. A, we have no right to darshan Sefer Echav Loshnayim Shlosha Svarim because it's fierce Svarim. The answer is we darshan it anyway. B, it's a Mefurish Mishnah that if you write the get in two columns, it's kasher even though it's two Svarim. The answer is no, two columns is called one Sefer. Only two different pieces of paper is called two Svarim. Okay, that answer to that kasha is not so pashut, because Rashi says both in Menachos when it comes to Mezuzah, and I put it on the Makor sheet in Sota when it comes to Megillah Sota. Megillah Sota has to be Sefer Echav L'Shaim Shulsha Svarim, and Rashi says Mefurish, if you write a Megillah Sota in two columns, it's pasul. Okay, so Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. But look at the Rambam. Says the Rambam, I'm reading you Hilchos Gerushin Perek Dalet Halacha Chaf Dalet, write down Gerushin Dalet Halacha Chaf Dalet, says the Rambam, Shir Mitzas HaGet V'Kosvo B'Daf HaSheni V'Eidi Milamata V'Sov V'Daf HaSheni Kosher. If you left, you wrote part of the get and you left out the other part and wrote it on the Daf Sheni, on a second Daf, it's Kosher. If you write part of the get on another Daf, it's Kosher. I don't know what daf means. I just know he said the word daf. This is Gerushin, Perek 4, Halacha 24. Compare this to Hilchos Sota, Perek 4, Halacha 8. Hilchos Sota, Perek Dalet, Halacha Ches, says the Rambam, Kosva al Shnei Dapim Psula, Shenemar B'Sefer, Sefer Echav, Lo Shnayim V'Shlosha. If you write Megillah Sota on two Dapim, it's Pasul. Because it has to be Sefer Echav, Lo Shnayim V'Shlosha Svarim. Now we have a Kasha in the Rambam. The Rambam writes that two dapim, a Megillah Sota on two dapim is possible because it's Shnayim Shlosha Svarim. But he writes that a get on two dapim is kosher. How could a get on two dapim be kosher if Megillah Sota on two dapim is possible? And I know all the Achronim will say, no, he meant two different things. He's like Tosfos. All the Achronim want to turn the Rambam into Tosfos. We know that trick already. When he says two dapim of a get is kosher, he meant two columns on one piece of paper. When he said two dapim of Megillah Sota is possible, he meant two different pieces of paper. You know what? I don't think you're allowed to do that for the Rambam. The Rambam should use words consistently. The Rambam's not supposed to use words, then you have to go answer and make a kimta and say he meant this here and that there by the same word. Usually the Rambam's supposed to use words consistently. The Rambam says, two dapim of Megillah Sota is pasul because Shnayim Shloshes Tzvarim. And yet he says, two dapim of a get is kosher. How could that be? If you don't want to say he meant two different things by two dapim, he used the same words, two dapim. Daf sheni, shnei dapim. So, Pashup Shad in the Rambam, I thought, is, and let me just, one second, give you the Svara here. If you say the Rambam's like the Torah, then we already got the Svara in the Torah. If you say the Rambam is that he's Machsher all white space, then we have to ask, what's the Svara? It's against our Gemara. So, I think the answer is Pashut. And I found this in the Shurei Karban. The Shurei Karban answers all our questions in one fell swoop. He says, no, Tosfos asked two questions. One, he asked, how could you darshan, right? What are the other questions? The other questions are, Tosfos, question number one, which is, it's not sefer anyway, Tzviras Devarim. And the second is Tosfos question number two, which is that a get on two columns is kosher. So I think you can answer all four of these in one fell swoop. And I found in the Shari Carbon, I know it's a big chiddush, but I really think it's true in the Rambam. Why did the Rambam leave out the psul of Shnayim v'shlosha svarim? Don't say stam. Don't say like Rechaim's fancy schmancy, even though I like Rechaim's fancy schmancy. I'm as much a brisker as the next guy. But say the Rambam left out Shnayim v'shlosha svarim because we don't hold from it. When our Gemara said Shnayim v'shlosha svarim, that was before we knew that we darshan l'sfiras devarim hu da'asa. Yeah, when we don't know that we're going to darshan l'sfiras devarim, you can ask this question. But now that we know that we darshan l'sfiras devarim hu da'asa, then you don't say sefer echad lo shnayim v'shlosha svarim because of the sefirah devarim hu da'asa. It's not a sefer at all. It's not even one sefer or two or three. It's a sefirah devarim. It's not a sefer at all. Since it's a sefirah devarim hu da'asa, there is no drasha of beis v'gimel. There is no drasha of beis v'gimel svarim. Once there's no drasha, here we say, I'll call it the shuri karbon because he said it before me, says the shuri karbon. He says, we don't hold of that drasha. Why? Because of Tosa's first question. Because we paskin that our Gemara was before they were Mechadish Sfiras Devarim. But now they were Mechadish Sfiras Devarim Hu Da'asa. Now that we're Mechadish Sfiras Devarim Hu Da'asa, then we don't hold of the drasha of Sefer Echad v'lo Shnayim v'shlosha Sfarim anymore. And that answers Tosa's second kasha. Right? We say the Rambam is meduyak dilo keterots hatosos. I know almost all Rishonim say like Tosos. Basically, everyone but Rashi and the Rambam says like Tosos. That there's no steerot in Megillah Sota and Get. Both of them are kosher in two columns, and both of them are puzzled in two pages. But the Rambam does make a steerot in Megillah Sota and Get. Get b'shnei dafim is kosher, and Megillah Sota b'shnei dafim is puzzled. How could that be? So the answer is because the Rambam paskins we only darshan sefer echav lo shnayim shlosha svarim by Megillah Sota, and we don't darshan sefer echav lo shnayim shlosha svarim by Get. And therefore, he gets out of Tosa's second kasha by rejecting the drasha of shnayim shlosha svarim by Get, because we paskin l'sfiras devarim hu da'asa, and this is all before the chiddush of l'sfiras devarim hu da'asa. And that, yes, Isaac.
Yeah, I just feel like it's very uncharacteristic of the Gemara to kind of to like have this perspective on drasha from like a historical perspective. Like, oh, this was before we figured out, you know, the other drasha. Like, normally they would bring up the kasha on this Gemara and say like, wait a second, we have this drasha for something else.
I admit that is the weak point of the Shari Karbon. Which is like, why in an analysis of Rav Papa with the Stam of the Gemara not already take into account what they're going to say like one daf later? I admit that that is the weak point. I just think it's so clear in the Rambam that he says Shnei Dafim is puzzled by Get and Shnei Dafim is kosher by Megillah Sota, is kosher by Get and puzzled by Megillah Sota. And he Dafka says, if you're Echad L'Shnayim V'Shlosha Svarim, to puzzle Shnei Dafim is his Lashon by Sota. And yet, why is he Machshir Shnei Dafim by Get? He obviously means the same case because he uses the same Lashon. So it seems to me that maybe he's rejecting the drasha. That's what it seems to me, that maybe he's rejecting the drasha by Get. And if he rejects the drasha by Get, then he would reject the maskana of our Gemara, which is that if you left out in shita l'shita, it's a psul of sefer echad v'loshnayim v'shlosha svarim. And certainly that it's a psul of sefer echad v'loshnayim v'shlosha svarim. And therefore, he's not going to bring down the psul of sefer echad v'loshnayim v'shlosha svarim here because he rejected that drasha. So maybe you could say because he rejects the drasha of Shnayim v'shlosha svarim, and you might have to, he rejects the drasha of Shnayim v'shlosha svarim, Okay, whether that answers this or not, yesh la'ayin, because you might also have to add the me'iri, that he thinks even the me'ura is because of shnayim shlosha svarim, and that's why he leaves it out, leaves out Rav Papa's ibaya ligamre. But I do think that it's striking that the Rambam, it's a pattern. He leaves out shnayim shlosha svarim, and he contradicts himself between Gittin and Megillah Sota, Dafk in the context of shnayim shlosha svarim. I would put that together with the first Kashiv Tosos and say that our Gemara was not holding Sfiris Dvarim Huda'asa, and the Rambam's paskening, lis Sfiris Dvarim Huda'asa, and that's why the Rambam doesn't bring down what is in our Gemara. Okay, this is the Shira Karban Dvar in the Rambam. I found it on the Shira Karban, so on the Makor sheet. There's a few more details. I realize it's getting late.
Can I make a remark?
Please.
It seems to me that that's the simple pshat in the Gemara, which is the makor for the Rambam's halacha. If you look in the Gemara and pay Zion on the base, which is the makor for the Rambam's halacha, that seems to be what the Gemara is saying, that we're talking about two separate pages. And maybe understand, right. You could possibly understand the Gemara differently, but that seems to be the pashtus.
I'm not sure how you know whether the pashtus is two pages or two columns, I must admit.
Well, that seems to me what the Gemara is talking about.
Aha, okay.
That they're two separate giti.
Ah, so it could be the Rambam understood from the pshat of the Gemara and Daf Pezayin and Beis that overrode our Gemara. Okay. It's hard to tell what Pashup Shot is. But I will leave that for now. You know what? I'm going to beg your indulgence for a moment. How long I was on my phone call? No one timed how long I was on my phone call?
Nope. We don't know. It didn't happen.
Ah, good point. It's not in the recording. Hold on a second. Shabak knows because it's on my cell phone.
You have the prerogative of taking as much as you want.
Oh, only 11 minutes. And I already went 17 minutes over. But let's assume that we're flying so high there's time dilation. So let's just briefly finish up this inyan of Shnayim Shlosha Dafim and ask whether or not how Gittin and what about Get versus Megillas Sota. And what do we know by Get? By Get, we know that at least two columns are okay because the Mishnah and Daf, Pezayin and Beis, as Tosos points out. So here you have Tosfos, Berov Rishonim, who say Get and Megillah Sota are the same thing. Two columns is kosher, two pages is puzzle. That's Tosos and Rov Rishonim say there's no difference. They're both Sefer Echad Lo Shnayim Shlosha Svarim. It means you can't have two separate pieces of paper. But two columns is perfectly okay. The Rambam, we thought, was the Or Zeruah quotes, the Or Zeruah has a very strange shita, says the Or Zeruah himself, not the weird thing he quotes from the Me'iri. The Me'iri quotes a very strange Yesh Omrim, says the Me'iri, Dibra Maschel, Ula'inyan Sol, I'm just checking whether this was himself or this was, this is the Yesh Mefarshim, the Me'iri in the name of the Yesh Mefarshim, Me'iri B'Shem Yesh Mefarshim, also says they're both equal. He says, even two columns is puzzle. Even two columns is puzzle. The mission that Pezayim and Beis says two columns was kosher. So he has to make a big dochak. He says, you know what happened to the mission, Pezayim and Beis? Two columns are kosher because all the toref, all the important information was in the second column, and the first column wasn't really necessary. So it was really a get in one column. It's a big chiddush. Pezayin and Beis wasn't really a get in two columns. It was really a get in one column because the first column had nothing important in it. Okay, that's a big chiddush. Says the Rashi, He says, by get. No, he says kipshuta over there. He says two columns is kosher. But by Megillah Sota, he says two columns is pasul. Says Rabbeinu Hananel, as interpreted by the Or Zeruah, he says by Megillah Sota, two pages is pasul. And by get, tremendous chiddush, even two pages is kosher. He has a lot of trouble getting out of our sugya. Says the Rambam.
That's the Rambam.
Says the Rambam. The Rambam says, quote, Shnei Dapim is kosher by get, and Shnei Dapim is pasul by Megillah Sota. Remember, one is Gittin Dalid Chaf Dalid, the other is Sota Dalid Ches. What do we make of the Rambam? I know all the Achronim want to turn the Rambam into Tosfos the Rishonim and say, two Dapim means two different things. And then when he said it was kosher by get, he means two columns. And when he says it was pasul by Megillah Sota, he meant two pages. That's not pshat in the Rambam. Pshat in the Rambam is he means either like the Rach or like Rashi. Either daf means column and there's a difference between get and Megillah Sota, or daf means page and there's a difference between get and Megillah Sota. But there's a difference between get and Megillah Sota. The question just becomes, if there's a difference between get and Megillah Sota, why is there a difference between get and Megillah Sota? So here, there are many explanations. In the Rishonim and Achronim have a gazillion explanations. The Or Zeruah does not really have a good explanation for Rabbeinu Hananel. Obviously, you just have to say you make a drusha in Megillah, does not have a great explanation for Rabbeinu Hananel. For Rashi, there are many explanations. Maybe the drusha is slightly different. One says safer, one says bas safer. One is a short document, one is a long document. There's a million is Beirim. But I think the Pashim Shad in the Rambam in this Rabbeinu Hananel, according to the Or Zeruah, Rabbeinu Hananel himself is unclear. And in Rashi, might just be that they all hold like this Chiddush, the Shuri Karban. Our Gemara says that a safer Echavel, Shnayim Shlosh Sfarim by get. But maybe we don't pass like that Gemara. Maybe we don't pass like that Gemara because of the Gemara later on that says Sfir Sfarim Hudasa. Or as Abe said, because on the Pezayin of Abayz, we think it's clear that two Sfarim are okay, this Talmud de Gemara there.
Well, if Rabbeinu Hananel,
learned
that way,
but Rabbeinu Hananel's language is ambiguous. The Or Zeruah interprets him as reading that way. Okay, Rabbeinu Hananel's language, I'm not sure, proves very much. So I wouldn't build on it that way.
But the Rambam usually goes like Rabbeinu Hananel.
Was clear, but look at it. Decide if you think Rabbeinu Hananel's language is clear or not. Anyway, Lamaisa, I think there's a big muckum to Sharia Karban to say we don't necessarily pass like the Drush and our Gemara, because as Tosos points out, put two and two together, A, it's Sfiras Devarim, B, there's Stiras between Get and Megillah Sota that Tosos has to answer. Just don't answer the Stiras and say we pass in Sfiras Devarim and we don't pass in Sefer Echa Velo Shnayim Shlosh Sfarim. Kach Niral and Yizdaiti L'chadesh, and I found the smach for it in the Sharia Karban. Okay, we'll have to pick up with the issue of Mukakvil, Amir Tzashem, next time.
Okay, Shkoya.
Anyone who has questions, feel free to chime in. I'm going to stop the recording.